Learn how to master the art of presentations with Jared Dickinson.
Good afternoon. Welcome, and welcome back to everyone who is returning. I'm very happy to be back here. This place is phenomenal as far as offering learning and development opportunities in all different aspects. I know there's a bunch of things going on today around the pitch and other things after this that are continuing on. If you have a chance to stick around, I'd highly recommend it. It's got some very impressive individuals coming through the course. So great. Well, we're here doing mastering presentations. And when we're talking about mastering presentations, I'm also talking about more of a global version of workplace communication. Because our communication, even if you are presenting often, let's say a couple times a week, what are you doing the other 85% to 90% of the time? Is it on the phone? Is it a conference call? Is it video conferencing? Is it a hallway conversation where you run into your boss? So this is the general term of workplace communication. And what we're talking about today in mastering presentations is both an art and it is a science. It's an art, as we are all communication artists in our own right. We have a different palette of colors, so to speak, that we're utilizing at any given time. And hopefully we can use that palette in different situations with different clients, different partners, both in mostly in business as well as this can go over into your personal life. The science part of it, good news is it's not rocket science in any way, sort, or form. As we all know, for any musicians or sports players, if you're a golfer, you can listen to as many recordings, read as many books as you want, but eventually you're going to have to actually get up and practice and start to have the brain synapse start firing, creating new habits, displacing idiosyncrasies that may be present in your communication and furthering that moving forward. So you got to string the guitar. Today in this course, in the next hour, we're going to do a couple different exercises in order to practice. I'm not a big fan of philosophical concepts, principles. They're necessary and very important. But I think really where the rubber hits the road, especially in presentations, is getting opportunity to practice and put this into play and see what comes up. This is an opportunity just to practice. There's no grades. Just have some fun and see what works. Hopefully you can take one thing from the next hour that you can take and put into a meeting that you have this afternoon or tomorrow, a conference call, that will help you be more confident, more concise, more clear, understand your listeners better, and make a bigger impact in your work, whether that's revenue, whether that's your mission, whatever you're looking for in your goal. We're going to be juggling a number of different things in the next hour. We're going to start with a couple different things. We're going to go into the laboratory and try a few things. We're going to first jump into the behaviors. We're going to look at how we're physically communicating, and then we're going to jump into our content, and how do we become more clear, more concise, more focused in our communication. I should give a little bit about how I got here today, just to give you a brief introduction. So I used to run sales and operations teams within the technology world for over a decade. About 2 years ago, I made the transition into business communication coaching and do workshops in and around the Bay Area and internationally for the last couple of years. In the consulting world, I used to run an IT consulting group and was headquartered here in San Francisco, and I feel very fortunate. And the reason I do this work and the purpose of this work is in watching individuals and helping them move them from where they are, hopefully in not too painful of a way, and move them forward in their communication. And what I've seen is that in business and in your personal life, being an effective communicator is crucial, right? You have as much ideas are just crucially important, but how we communicate those ideas is often underutilized. And so how do we communicate those? Any presenter is communicating out of four main skill areas. If you're up here presenting in front of a group of people, there's four key skill areas that you're working with at any given time as a presenter. What do you think those are? Your behaviors, right? Absolutely. Behaviors are a big part of that, of how you're being perceived. The content in which you're speaking, right? It's huge. Probably a majority of what we're thinking is, what are we going to say next? What's next on our mind? This mental RAM up here is thinking about our content. Your energy, that kind of fits into all of those, right? How you're projecting your confidence and your behaviors, and also within your content, how that's coming out. Is it clear? Is it concise? Listener adaptability is a huge piece. If anyone's in sales or running companies, we all know one of the most underutilized aspects, and if you came to the course before, you heard a lot in the pitch, is really understanding who your listeners are, being empathetic to their situation, to what is of interest to them, what might be some resistances to what you're communicating, and then maybe you can preemptively acknowledge what those are before they even start. So let's look at that. Behaviors, as we said, a lot of different functional areas. We are communicating as presenters. You and I are communicating out of 8 different channels of expressiveness and composure. 8 different channels at any given time, which are big parts in a perception of you as a presenter. Content, we mentioned, big part. A lot of the mental RAM up here is what we're thinking about is what's coming out of our mouth, right? Content is a big piece. Listener adaptability is what we talked about before, which is built into what we're going to be talking about today, really understanding our listeners. We're going to do a practice where you'll be thinking of who your listeners are going to be as you're presenting in a statement. And then interaction, which if you are in front of a group, you are in charge of both cultivating interaction. If it's not present, how do you cultivate interaction? And then how do you manage it? Because we all know interaction can be warm and congenial, or it can be hot, difficult, hostile even at times. And part of being up here is being able to work through those different aspects. We're not going to get too much into the interaction section today. There are different aspects we'll cover within our content about pre-acknowledging, which is the main piece of working with interaction and specifically hostile situation or difficult conversation. All right. So this big area of behavior is a big part. Our first exercise we're going to do is around kind of jumping in to see some awarenesses around how we're communicating. And we're going to do this 2 different ways. We're going to look into feedback from your peers. And then we're also going to look at from an aspect of a video. And you are going to be offered the opportunity to take out your phone in your group and have someone videotape you as you're giving your statement. And the reason that I bring that in is because there's a huge disparity of how we think we're presenting and actually how we're presenting, right? There's the subjective view of our personal feelings of what's going on, and then the objective view of what our listeners are perceiving. And that is much more important than your subjective view. The more that we can get in the mindset of our listeners and what is going on in their mind, the better off we're going to be. Not only does it get rid of our own self-consciousness, but we're more focused on our listeners, which is a great thing. So this big area of behaviors that we're going to start with, if I'm communicating up here out of 8 different channels, what are some of those channels? We had heard some earlier. What are the 8 different channels I am at any given time physically putting out there? Gestures is a big one. Gestures are good, but you have to come back into some kind of visual period and then gesture a lot. Tone of voice, vocal variety, vocal impact is a huge thing, especially if you're dealing with larger rooms. Eye contact. The most important behavior skill out there on the market, eye contact. Energy. Energy is a big part of that. Interaction we're looking for with individuals, right? This is an art and science of perception, attention, and energy. Perception, attention, and energy. And in this art and science, behaviors are a big part of that. The top 3, eye contact, pause, and neutral posture, are what we call composure skills. They're at the top of the list for a reason. They are the most important behaviors. From gestures down are what we call expressiveness skills or energetic skills. Eye contact, big part of a presentation where it's just me and you personally connecting for a short amount of time, going on to the next person. It's hard for anybody to trust you if you don't look them in the eye. If I'm talking up here and, hey, you know, presentation skills is really important. You got to Make sure you look at someone for 3 to 6 seconds. They're like, what is that? What's going on there? Got to connect with the eye contact. We're going to do an exercise around that. Pause. Big part. The antidote to this thing we call filler words, which is a big thing. Neutral posture. Foundation for all behaviors is in our posture and how we're presenting up here in front of the room. Are we open? Are we composed? Gesturing, we mentioned, energetic, use of space. Gesturing and use of space are huge things. When I was talking to individuals before this course, we talked about, what are you doing here? Some of you said, you know, I go down rabbit holes and I talk a lot and I want to just be short and concise and clear. Great. We'll talk about that. Or I deal with nervousness when I get up in front of rooms. It is, public speaking is up at the top of the most scary things to do for a reason. So how do we do that? Gestures release tension out of the body that's being held. When we go like this, we're kind of stuck, right? So how do we do that? Maybe we move across the room, which releases nervous tension out of the body. All different things that can help. And tools and awarenesses that we can use when we're in front of a room. Vocal impact we heard about, facial expressions. There's over 3,000 facial expressions that it's been proven, 3,000, and over 40 muscles just in the face alone. Maybe many of you have heard this, where if you're on a conference call and you put a smile on your face, that general, your tone changes, more conversational wording happens just from putting a smile on your face. You want to obviously mirror whoever you're talking to. If someone's in a hostile or difficult situation, you don't want to probably smile, but you want to mirror what they're expressing, right? So let's take a double click of these top three areas. So what we're recommending for eye contact is a series of one-to-one communication where it's just me and you talking here for 3 to 6 seconds, and then I'm going directly from you to the next person and connected for 3 to 6 seconds. Avoiding looking up, looking down, searching, but sticking with that person for 3 to 6 seconds. Now, this can work in larger groups as well by looking at one individual. Many people around that are drawn in because you're looking at that person. They feel a sense of connection to that. We want to try to maintain this while we're thinking. So 3 to 6 seconds, we'll be practicing in the exercise the long side of that, the full 6 seconds, which will feel a little bit weird, but we're in the laboratory and we're doing some experimenting. We all have our favorites up there. I know you see one, you're like, oh, yeah, that's mine. I got that one. So, you know, like, born and raised in California, like. Some of them have no meaning at all. Others, so means thus or therefore. Oftentimes, if you start your sentence with so, most often it's a filler word. And if you are ex-President Obama, if you listen to him when he's off script, his famous filler word is and he'll go on and. 99% of people walking the face of the earth have filler words and are unaware of them. And so how do we become aware of our filler words? We slow down. We pause. Take a deep breath. We're so scared of doing that. Like silence. Oh my gosh. Silence should be on that list of like the most scary things in the world. I'm getting to like silence. I have to in this work. But silence is a huge benefit to accentuate a point, to provide rhythm and tonality into your speaking, to provide a visual period so your listeners can actually digest the information that you're talking about. Give yourself the own mental and physical space to take a deep breath. Provide some RAM, some intelligence up here. Stop moving so quickly. We'll explore that. Posture, we've all got our favorite kind. So what are we recommending for neutral posture? Aligned body, balanced weight, just how the normal body is aligned. Forms a sense of openness, that I'm receptive. How open and receptive do I look now when I'm talking to you? Sorry, what did you say? What? What was that? Being open, balanced, composed. I mentioned earlier the seatbelt thing, where if your hands are in your pockets, how are you going to gesture? How are you going to release that nervous tension out of the body? I have a colleague that teaches the ready position, which is a valuable thing. Teaches this to CEOs all over the Bay Area. It's called the ready position. I think that more of a open and neutral posture, in my recommendation, is better. Because what happens when you're doing this is you get a boatload of this going on. Just a lot of this. And so what we're saying is more an open posture, relaxed, not tensed up, but relaxed by your side, just how the body is aligned. All right. So what I'd like you to do, you're going to choose a sample topic. I'm not really worried on what you talk about. You can mumble, you can speak in Italian, I don't care. What I do care about is three things: your eye contact, your neutral posture, and what's the other composure skill? Pause. Nice. All right, content. We're going to switch gears here a little bit. Keep this moving forward. We want to be clear. We want to be memorable in our communication. If I'm up here speaking, or this could be you here, and your reaction to what I'm saying is that's a really good point. It's not a fact. There's no mistake in that. Point comes in one of three forms of language, and they answer three basic questions that listeners are filtering for in any important communication. They form a sense of solidity, of being directed, of being listener-focused and positive, all very good qualities to have in a conversation. You can pull them out of your back pocket at any time, and you can be on point. So I'm going to give an example of a correspondent. I'd recommend going to Delfina Restaurant in San Francisco. It's on the corner of 18th between Guerrero and Dolores. Look it up on Google Maps. You're still wondering, okay, what are the benefits? What are we looking for in that situation? This content clarity tool, I do this program in a one and two day formats. This is the most important and powerful content clarity tool that we talk about. These three forms of language are what we call positions, actions, and benefits. That encompassed is what we call focus statements. A focus, any important communication, to open and close any important communication. You got a conference call this afternoon, try using a focus statement to open and close your call. It's a position. I'm not wishy-washy about what I'm talking about. I have a very clear point and a position on what your subject is. I have an action, which is directed. It's answering a question: what are you asking me to do? So Mr. Client, Mr. Coworker, Mr. Vendor, what are you asking me to do specifically? And you're right, I just said MapQuested. I could have said, go on OpenTable. I could have given you some more direction. It fills up quite quickly, so I'd recommend do it at least 2 weeks in advance because you probably won't be able to find a place. I could be more helpful, definitely. And then benefit-focused, which answers the question, what's in it for me? Not me as a speaker, but me as a listener. For any business owners here, anybody that's looking for collaboration, the linchpin we had earlier, I think today here at the NASDAQ Center, they had a pitch, like what's your pitch? Huge, important piece on benefits. The more you're focused on benefits for your listener, getting in that viewpoint of what's in it for my listener, the more collaboration you're going to get, the more you're going to be able to get your point for your action to be done. Let me rewind this, and I'll do this one more time using these position, action, benefit specific to Delfina. I'll give myself 45 seconds. With focus statements, we usually say they're between 20 seconds to about a minute. If you go further than a minute, you start 2 minutes, you're going to get into premature detail. So we're looking just to open up a phone call, a meeting, 20 seconds to a minute. Any important communication, phone call, conference call, meeting with a business partner, you bump into your boss in the hallway, most important communication. What's the update on the project? What are you asking them to do? And what are the benefits of them taking your action? So I'll try this one more time. I'd highly recommend Delfina Restaurant in San Francisco. It's one of my favorite in the city. Take a look online beforehand. You can go to OpenTable, MapQuested. It's between 18th and Guerrero and Dolores. Make sure you spend at least a little bit of time trying to find a place because it gets busy really quickly. I'd recommend it because it has one of the best cuisines I've found. It's got an Italian, French cuisine. They have great wine pairings. It's very close to Dolores Park, so before or after, you can go over to Dolores Park, take a walk. You can go over to Buy Right Ice Cream afterwards as well if you want something sweet, or if you're feeling really adventurous afterwards, you can go down to Valencia Street. They got tons of bars and coffee shops and tea shops if that's what you're looking for. Within that 45 seconds, where did I spend most of my time of these three forms of language? Benefits, which I mentioned is the linchpin of any persuasive model. And oftentimes I'm asked, oh, well, I'm not in sales, I'm not in marketing. What do I need to focus on benefits for? If you're looking for collaboration, if you're looking to get your action moved from number 50 on their list up in the top, this is what you need. You need to spend majority of your time on those benefits. It's the most important part in any kind of model like that. So these are opening and closing, any important communication, 20 seconds to a minute. It can be as short as, I love bubble gum. Go get some bubble gum over at Walgreens. They're on every single corner in the city. They're great for after a meal. They freshen your breath. And there's tons of different kinds. Check them out. Position, action, benefit. You can also change. You can start with benefits. You can then have a position and then action. They can be interchangeable. So it doesn't need to be strategic to position, action, benefit. Okay? If you can choose a couple skills, maybe it's eye contact. Maybe it's focus statements. And practice daily for 3 to 4 weeks. Just one or two, maybe one. Start with one. Let's be realistic. That will start to create the fluencies that you can continue doing this. When I started, I would choose one or two of these, like gesturing. And I would be out at a barbecue, and I'd be sitting there, and the person next to me would be talking to me being like this. I'd be like, oh, that looks so comfortable. I just want to do this. I feel so much better. And oh, but I have to, oh God, I'm training. I forgot I got to do this. Oh, this feels so good. Does he see that? This feels really awkward to me. And you have to do that. That, for example, took me about 4 or 5 days, and I was like, okay, this is fun. Like, this is cool. Those first 4 days were very uncomfortable. These are lifelong habits that you can change in 3 to 4 weeks, though. Focus on the small, start doing small. Once you feel more comfortable with that, you can move forward. The one thing I do want to just point out is different practices for you. So if you're going to take this, if you really want to get this investment that you just put in for the last hour and a half being here, you're going to have to practice. That's just, as we heard earlier, our friend who took off, you got to, you know, if you're going to do the piano, you got to practice. If you're a golfer, you got to hit the range. Eventually, you're going to have to practice. And we are communicating every day in our lives. We have all these different opportunities to do so. We just tend not to because it's uncomfortable and we're worried about perception or whatnot, but we need to practice. So for example, filler words, big thing. 99% of the people walking down this face of this earth have filler words and are unaware of them. One way you can do it visually, figure out what your filler word is, put it up in your bathroom, maybe your bathroom mirror or somewhere that you're going to see it. And what happens is you start to create an awareness around it. So some point during the day, oh, I used my filler word. So, and then you continually remind that awareness. Some point during the day, you're going to say, oh, I used it again. I got to stop. I got to pause. I got to slow down. After a little bit of time, 3 to 4 weeks of practicing that daily, changes happen. You can also, all of us use voicemail, probably business and personal, a couple times a day. There's a button, you can hit the pound key, and you usually have options, sometimes it's 2 or 3. Guess what? Listen back, listen for filler words, and re-record it until you are filler word free. That's an awareness practice. It's a practice. And hey, why don't you just throw in what we just did too? Why don't you try focus statements? Did you have a focus statement? Were you action-oriented? Were you benefit-focused to who you talked about? It'll probably go from another benefit is you'll go from a minute to 30 seconds. That's a valuable thing, both for you as your perception and for your listener who's receiving that. I'd rather have a 30-second voice, a minute voicemail. Very concise. So you got the visual reminder for your fillers. You got your audio reminder. And your partner or your roommate or if you have children, if they know the expense of money, the value of money. Pay someone an undisclosed amount of money every time you use a filler word. Hey, would you let me know next time, anytime I use a filler word, I'll pay you a quarter. And maybe you have that reciprocated, and so a lot will cancel out. So maybe you're able to do that. So that's another kind of way to focus just on filler words. Focus statements, any meeting that you're going to, open and close with focus statements. What is your position? What is your, at the core to you, what's on your forehead about what you're talking about? What is your action? What are you asking this person to do? Hey, I'm looking to set up a meeting next week. And I want to talk to you about the different ways and what type of things we want to talk about. And then when you get to the close, then you can specifically ask more particularly what day that is and time. And then what are the benefits if we get that meeting set up? And try working that in any important communication. phone call, video conference, personal. If you leave a call, you're calling your mom or dad and say, hey, what do you need? What's your position? What's your action? What's your benefit? And start to work with this on a daily basis, it becomes second nature. I've got to end now. Thank you guys for just your participation and being open to this. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful week. Thank you very much.